Huddle Up Podcast. It is Sunday as I'm recording this, Sunday, December the 3rd, 2023. This is the Observations with Big Jim. I am your host, Big Jim. And I just want to, of course, as always, thank everyone for continuing to support everything we do here at the Huddle Up Podcast. And you can subscribe to the show if you're not already on all podcast platforms. Get us on YouTube. Get us on Twitch. You can get us on all of our social media platforms. We're at Huddle Up Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok as well. And it's been a few weeks since I got an observation pod, but I want to remind everybody also about our TeePublic store. Everything currently on sale. I believe it's on sale through the remainder of December, so at least till the holidays are over. So head over to teepublic.com. You can get our merchandise link in our social media channel, the episode description, as well through our link tree. So make sure you check that out. We certainly do appreciate that. And pick up all of the merchandise there. It has been a few weeks since I have gotten an observations pod down. Things have just been a little nuts with the holidays and whatnot. So certainly do appreciate your patience. And but with the college football playoff rankings coming out today, I felt it was important and necessary to get one of these down. So let's dive right in. The college football playoff semifinals and bowl matchups are set. Won't really get into any bowl matchups outside of the semifinals on this episode for more discussion on that and some of the other intriguing matchups outside of the semifinals. I mean, we're going to obviously be talking about the semifinals and the playoff rankings and all of that this Tuesday live, 8:30 Eastern time on Facebook, on Twitch, and on our YouTube channel. So be ready for that one. We want to have interaction. We had great interaction on the show comments last week when we were live. I'm sure this week is going to be no different, so don't miss that. Get in on the action. But we are going to be talking about this. But I wanted to get some of my initial thoughts, and I'm not going to go too deep into them because I want to save that for Tuesday. So maybe this is just like the appetizer to the full meal. But the semifinal matchups are set. It will be number one Michigan, number four Alabama in the Rose Bowl on January 1st, and it'll be number two Washington taking on number three Texas in the Sugar Bowl on January 1st as well. So before I dive into what was right, what was wrong, I felt going into the committee's decision this afternoon, once all the dust settled on playoff weekend or championship weekend, I felt there was only one of two options the committee could go with, and that would have been Michigan 1. Both scenarios have Michigan 1, Washington 2. I know some people said that there was a case for Washington to be number one. I disagree, especially given that Washington was never ranked higher than Michigan throughout this whole process. Michigan did the job. Washington did the job. They're 1 and 2. Those are the easy ones. From there, I thought the only two scenarios the committee could work with were Florida State at 3, Texas 4, Alabama 5, Georgia 6, or the committee's decision that we got, Texas 3, Alabama 4, Florida State 5, Georgia 6. And first off, how great is it that Ohio State wasn't part of any of these discussions? That's after them falling back asswards into last year's. This was great. Now, the reason I think those are the two scenarios is because you had to make the decision. Is an undefeated season, does the undefeated season matter, or just plus head-to-heads, or do just head-to-heads matter? And you look at resumes and dive deeper into it. And to me, and the four that we got is the four that I said that I think we would get last night. When Michigan and Florida State finished their victories last night, I said I thought the four teams would be Michigan, Washington, Texas, Alabama. So when I say some of the things I'm about to say, I don't want you to come at me as if I'm in the position of defending Florida State, because I'm not. I do think that the four that were right are the four that we got, because head-to-heads have to matter. You can't put Georgia in and not Alabama. You can't put Alabama in and not Texas. There was four teams battling for two spots. This is why we're getting a 12-team playoff. Okay, this is why we're getting a 12-team playoff with conference champion automatic bids. What we're seeing play out this year, what we saw play out, and I think it was 2014. This is why. This is why. I think that to the games that we know, Michigan versus Alabama, Washington, Texas, this is not a slight at Texas or Washington, but I think that the game that will determine the national champion is Michigan-Alabama. I think the winner of that game will win the national championship. Whether it's Texas, whether it's Washington, I think the winner of that game between Michigan and Alabama in the Rose Bowl will be your national champion. Now, the point I want to look at from the Florida State perspective is I can totally understand why Florida State and in turn the ACC are upset. Okay. Again, like if I had to make the decision, my four would have been Michigan, Washington, Texas, Alabama. However, I can totally see why the ACC and why Florida State are upset, and why Florida State fans are upset, and why Florida State players are upset and coaches are upset. Because they did what they were asked to do. Okay? They did what they were asked to do. They won all 13 games in front of them. They also did what they were asked to do, and that schedule and a difficult out-of-conference opponent. Remember week one? Remember LSU, who was ranked fifth? Probably too high. Again, you know how I feel about preseason rankings, but here we are. LSU was the number five team in the country. Florida State beat them in week one. They scheduled an SEC opponent, and they beat them week one. They did the thing that Texas did early in the season. Texas scheduled a SEC opponent, Alabama. They beat them. That's why Texas is three and Alabama's four. Florida, but Texas also lost to Oklahoma. Was Oklahoma even in the top 25 when these rankings came out? That's a great question, Jim. Let me look that up for you. Because I don't know the answer to that question. Oklahoma was 12th. Okay, so Texas lost to the number 12 team. Alabama lost to the number now 3 team. Georgia lost to the now number 4 team. Florida State lost to nobody. Florida State is the only undefeated Power 5 conference champion that has been left out of a college football playoff. Mike Norvell and the athletic director at Florida State and Florida State players have every right to be upset. They have every right to be upset. I'd be pissed. I'd absolutely be pissed. Okay? And 99.9% of people who are telling Florida State they shouldn't be upset and they should shut up and do better and be better, they would be pissed if it was their favorite team that got left out. And if you're saying you wouldn't, you're probably lying. You're probably lying. So telling Florida State fans to not be upset today I mean, I can't tell you what not to do or what to do and what not to do, but maybe it's not the right thing to do. Because you'd be pissed. I'd be pissed. Any fan would be pissed. You did everything right. You did everything right. And you're not getting in there because a guy broke his leg. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen the Jordan Travis tweet today, this afternoon, that's one of the like saddest and things to make my stomach turn that I've ever seen in relation to college football. He used the words like, "I wish I would have broken my leg earlier." Like, damn it, man! Like that's not something that a student athlete, he's 23, but look, 23, like I wasn't equipped to like have to think those thoughts, man. Like that sucks. And I get he's an adult. It sucks. Adulting sucks and it's hard, but like he's still a college student. You know, he's seeing the reaction of teammates and friends and family, and you know, he has to live with the fact that he got hurt and now his team's not playing in a playoff, and the committee said it's because he got hurt. So like if you haven't while you're celebrating and whatever, Florida State not getting in or the downfall of the ACC or whatever, like check out that tweet and maybe it'll ground you. I don't know. Maybe it'll ground you a little bit. I have no clue. It rocked me, man. That sucks. That sucks for a student athlete to have to say the words, "I wish I would have broken my leg earlier." Sucks. But yeah, I would be pissed. I'd be pissed if I'm Florida State. I'd be pissed if I was Mike Norvell. I'd be pissed if I was those Florida State players. They literally did everything asked of them. You know? Texas beat a team that was ranked two spots behind the team that Florida State beat. Florida State, you know, beat a team who was, whether you agree with it or not, we're going off a resume, right? We're doing this off a resume. Florida State beat a team ranked in the top 15 with a statistically top 20 offense. They held them to 6 points, and they beat them with a third-string quarterback. Does that mean they'd have a shot against Michigan? Probably not. Does Alabama have a better chance against Michigan? Yeah, I would think so. But Florida State did what was asked, and now they meet Georgia in the Orange Bowl. And I saw somebody, and I thought they said that if I was Florida State, like I wouldn't allow ESPN to have media coverage and practice coverage and do interviews and all of that stuff. And I don't know if they can or not, but it's certainly an interesting thought, right? F you guys. We're preparing for this and you don't have access. Like, I think you can restrict access. I don't know. I'm just a guy with a microphone in a studio. I've never covered a game, so I don't know if they can do that, but I'd love to see them try. But yeah, we're certainly going to talk about this and the committee's decision and all of that more, this Tuesday. So please tune in. If you listen to this and we'd love to see you interact, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot of thoughts from people. You know, like I said, my four are the four that the committee presented, but I don't blame Florida State for being upset. Moving to the NFL. Why I'm tired, sick and tired of hearing about the Dallas Cowboys schedule. Here we go talking about schedules again. It's like they bleed together. And how the Cowboys haven't played anybody. You're right. I mean, they, first off, let me address, I seen the tweet going around, like everybody was saying, you know, they haven't beaten anybody with a winning record. And I'm like, well, the Jets are 1-0 when they beat them. Like, I get it, it's the Jets, they stink. But like the Cowboys eviscerated that defense. Everybody wants to talk about being elite, but whatever. But this past week they did. They beat the Seattle Seahawks, who were 6-5. Now they're 6-6. Now, of course, people want to say that again. Well, they haven't beaten anybody with a winning record. 6-5 when they played them, assholes. But why? Like, I'm sick of hearing about Dallas' schedule, and here's why. Like, and I think I even came to the defense of the Eagles. I think it was last year or the year before when people were like, well, the Eagles haven't played anybody. Well, can we stop? Like, the Cowboys don't get to make their schedule. The Eagles don't get to make their schedule. Nobody gets to make their schedule. The NFL does it. You have these rotating division, you know, NFC East plays this division from the AFC, this division from the NFC, and then you get the extra games to fill out the rest of the schedule. Like, you don't get to make your schedule, and you also don't get to make how bad the opposing team's going to be. Like, did the Cowboys know that the Aaron Rodgers is going to break tear his Achilles, allegedly, in week one? And then you get Zach Wilson in week two? The same Zach Wilson that beat the Eagles, but whatever. But the Cowboys didn't pick that. Did the Cowboys know that the alleged coach of the year, Brian DeBole from the New York Giants, that team was going to be a flaming bag of trash? Well, actually, we knew that they were going to be a flaming bag of trash, but the Cowboys can't control that. Now, granted, the Cowboys have a bad loss, okay? They have a bad loss to the Arizona Cardinals. There's a lot of teams with bad losses in the National Football League. And their other losses are to a 49ers team who, when fully healthy, see the massacre in South Philadelphia today. This Niners team is really fucking good. And they lost by, what, 5 points to the Eagles? So you look at the rest of their games. They're beating teams by a margin of victory of 31, 32. Is that not what they're supposed to do as the better team? Like, they're not eking out wins versus Carolina. They're not struggling to put away the Rams. Like what are we doing? And is it just because it's the Cowboys? Or is it more because it's the Cowboys? I don't know. But I'm tired of hearing about it. Plus, again, they got the win over Seattle. It was a tight one. It was a close one, but they found ways to win. For the first time in a long time, the Cowboys in a game like that did not find ways to lose. They found ways to win. But none of that matters, okay? Why none of it matters? Because now, especially with the scope of the rest of the NFC, the Cowboys are going to be a playoff team. So the Cowboys are going to be, they are going to be judged. How and where the Cowboys should be judged are based on the remaining of their games, which they have Philly, they have Buffalo, they have Miami, they have Detroit, and then they go to the postseason. So is this Cowboys team better than ones in the past? I don't know. Does it feel a little bit different? Maybe a little. I was talking to a friend of mine that I work with that is a huge Cowboys fan. And we were talking and I said, look, I don't know what it means, but this Cowboys team feels like they are tighter as a group than any Cowboys team I can remember in my life. Now, I understand, like, I was alive for two out of three Super Bowls in 4 years in the 90s. Like, I was alive for that, but I don't remember that. I was 7, 8, and 10. So forgive me if I don't have a great memory of how tight those teams were. But, like, the tightest team I can remember, I think there was a photo that the Cowboys, they took in the locker room and they won the division and clinched the number one seed. And I think it was Romo, DeMarco Murray, Jason Witten, Dez Bryant. And to me, that felt like the most unified Cowboys team I had ever seen. This year's team feels like it's more than that. This year's team feels like they are the tightest group in Dallas that I've ever seen. Again, I don't know what that means. I'm not saying that's ultimately going to lead to success. I'm not here predicting a Lombardi trophy being, you know, brought back to Arlington for the first time in almost 30 years. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying Dak should be MVP, but if you look at him lately, like, and if he continues to play this way, he's got to be in the discussion. Because he was brilliant again this past week against Seattle. And if he does it against Philly, and he does it against Buffalo, and he does it against Miami, who people keep telling me are so good, and he does it against this Lions defense that everybody tells me is so good, he's got to be in the conversation. Again, not win it, but conversation. But I'm not sitting here saying he should be the MVP. I'm not. But I'm tired of, like, I feel like the Cowboys are, and again, it comes with the territory, I suppose, but I'm just tired of hearing about the schedule. I'm tired of hearing about it. Going back to college for a minute, Notre Dame, there's chaos. Again, chaos in college football. Again, another theme for the weekend. But Notre Dame, it was announced this week that they are not retaining their wide receivers coach. I believe 5 or 6 rostered wide receivers have announced they are entering the transfer portal. And, like, Notre Dame fans are, like, panicking, right? Because there, I think, is four wide receivers on the roster for the upcoming bowl game, Sun Bowl, December 29th against Oregon State. Four wide receivers. And I'm like, okay, I mean, this seems worrisome. This seems, you know, not great. Certainly not great. But, like, I didn't want to panic. I trust Marcus Freeman and what's going on. Reports coming out of South Bend tonight that looks like they may be hiring Wisconsin's wide receiver coach who had worked with him, worked with Marcus Freeman at Cincinnati. A lot of players and recruits tweeting, like, how exciting this is. So I'm like, okay, it's December. I get we have a bowl game coming up, but we don't play, like, a meaningful, like, new regular season game until August. So, all right, let's breathe a minute. I think we're going to be okay here. But also, like, they got to look at the quarterback situation. I transfer 6-year senior Sam Hartman will be graduating. This is the end of his college career. Certainly a bit of a disappointment this season. But Notre Dame possibly looking at the transfer portal again. A couple of names going around. Was it Grayson McCall from Coastal Carolina? Riley Leonard from Duke is a heavily rumored potential landing spot. But also I'm sitting here going, well, you know, we have like two quarterbacks. One, Stephen Jelly, who played sporadically this year and even a little bit last year. And you also have, like, a 5-star recruit in Kenny Minchie from Western PA that I'm like, are these guys going to get a look, or are they just going to go out in the transfer portal as well? That's just the crazy thing about where we're at in college football. And, again, I don't hate it, but it's certainly adds a new wrinkle to a lot of things in what teams might do or might not do. But, yeah, just some craziness going on at Notre Dame. A couple things in hockey before I get out of here. Washington Capitals are being a Capitals fan is like being on a roller coaster, and I can say that because I've been on a roller coaster once, literally once. But the Capitals currently sitting at 12-7-2, 26 points, third in the Metropolitan Division through 21 games. But like they'll go on stretches where they where they, you know, like 2, 3, 4 wins in a row, and then they get like blown out by the Vegas Golden Knights like they did last night. I think it was 4-1 was the final. And I'm like, I think that's just going to be the way this season is. There's going to be hot stretches. There are going to be cold stretches. And I hope that this team can just continue to develop. And if they make the playoffs, great. Like, that'd be awesome. But I think like next year and the following are really going to be the target seasons of like, is this new coaching staff and system working? And yeah, it's just going to take time. There's a lot of young talent in Washington, and they're starting to carry the play to the point where I think it was, might have even been yesterday against the Vegas Golden Knights or the prior game, where Alex Ovechkin had the lowest number of minutes played in a game where he was healthy. Lowest number of minutes he had played in a game where he was healthy in his career. So, like, it's scary because it's kind of showing that, the end of the Ovechkin era is far closer than I'm ready for it to be. He's only scored, I think, 3 or 4 goals this year. And I said I thought this year was going to be really critical to his success or failure in terms of breaking the NHL's all-time goal record. Certainly not a good, month and a half, 2 months to the season. We're a quarter way in, and this is certainly shaping up to be his worst year goal-wise for an entire season. So I certainly hope he can pick up the pace a little bit. And then lastly, my Hershey Bears, the defending AHL Calder Cup champions. It seems wild to say coming off of a year where a team won a championship, this team feels special. They started 16-4 through 20 games. It's the best record in the team's 80 plus year history. They're now 18-4. They've won 9 in a row. And I watched them night one, their very first game, and I thought, this team's better than last year's. They just had that look to them, and it was all going to come down to if they could play together. So far, so good, and I hope that can continue. My one hockey team's a roller coaster. The other one, I'm just like cruising on cloud 9. That's going to do it for the observations this time around. Hope you all have a great day wherever you listen. Make sure, again, you catch us at Huddle Up Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. Get us on YouTube. Get us on Twitch. Subscribe everywhere, all podcast platforms as well. And, follow along with the show and catch us on Tuesday night, 8:30 Eastern time through the rest of the football season. So, at least about, 2 months. So check us out there, interact with us live during the show, or comment on the YouTube videos even after the fact, and we'll certainly appreciate all the support you give us. And until next time, stay safe, stay smart, and as always, go for the win.